Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
So, Jay, I mentioned in the last segment.
Good morning.
Good morning for people joining us now. If you missed any of the first 2 hours, you can download the podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
We had a lot that happened this morning. I mean, I got sabotaged here with my list for Draymond Green's potential destinations.
How did you get sabotaged?
I didn't really put together a list. It was more of a fluid conversation, random teams.
So, in other words, they asked you for a fluid conversation. Is that how they put it?
No, that's the way I presented the facts.
Oh, because I saw a list that said Jay's round ball rankings,
but I never gave a list. So if you never hand in an assignment, how can you get judged for an assignment?
You're saying you don't do your homework, so you can't be graded.
No, my homework was done.
Oh, the homework.
The case was presented.
May I ask
all the different teams?
May I ask the control room their point of view?
No.
Oh, I see.
No, their POV doesn't matter here.
Okay, go ahead.
But it does, Jay.
What?
Okay, so
I'm sorry. I asked Jay, and he said no. But go ahead, Jay.
No. I mean, we've realized Jay's opinion doesn't matter. We just kind of do what we want to based upon what he says. Jay, we asked you for your list. Right?
When did you ask me for my list, Nuno?
We talked about it yesterday.
No, you didn't say a list.
Yes, I did.
No, you did
I
not.
I said, Jay, how Where's about your top
evidence?
Five?
Where's the evidence?
We had a conversation. This is hearsay. We had a conversation.
This is hearsay. I have conversations with lots of people, Nuno.
Top five landing spots
and he denies them all.
For Draymond. And then, what happens? You start having this conversation.
Fluid.
Because that's what's on
But
the
wait,
rundown.
But wait, okay, wait. Let's clarify. So you're right. But did I ever hand you a list, Nuno?
Well, that's part of this problem.
See?
Right? So then you start talking about a team. So you're supposed to be putting a list together. And you say, well, Suns. And then, so is the Suns the fifth? Then we have to interpret what you're saying.
Yeah, that's a fair question, though.
It's not our fault that you kind of half-assed the assignment.
Oh, wow. Wow, now I'm half-assing it.
Oh, wow.
By the way, that's what you should put on the round ball rankings. Yeah, Jay's half-assed round ball rankings.
Yeah, call for where it is. There is no room for interpretation. That's fine. My half-ass rankings.
Coach, why are we, last ranking
coach, why
next
are we
time.
Running half-ass plays, Coach? Coach Nuno?
Half speed,
Whose
man.
Job is it to mandate we run?
Yeah, you don't have the
Jay,
guys ready to go, apparently, Coach.
Hey, I'm a new breed of a coaching. Hey, I told the guys what to do. They screw this up.
By the way, Nuno got all his timeouts at the end of the game.
Hold on, Nuno. Who am I, DeAndre Ayton, and you're Monty Williams? You still want to coach me? Is that it?
I mean, I'm trying. It's the best I got.
Can I see the graphic again just so we're clear? Because I could have sworn it was a list.
It was not a list.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Now look at him. He's not even paying attention to the show.
Well,
now they
took the numbers away because you protested.
This guy's texting people during the game.
You still said last Golden State Warriors, so you have them below the other teams.
Oh, my goodness. You see, Doc Holliday now joining us, sports director of WMC Action News 5 in Memphis. Doc, you see how they do me?
For a list, wouldn't you give it them in order?
I mean, you know what? Hey, Jay, they got a point, my man. You know what I'm saying? You got it. If somebody gives you, hey, I'm with you, but I'm just saying they got a point, my guy.
Jay's going to change the song to I Didn't Understand the Assignment.
Doc, don't do that to me, man. Doc, why you look like Delray Davis right now? What's going on, man? D-Ray.
Hey, man. You
look like D-Ray right now. You look a lot like D-Ray. You look a lot like D-Ray. I know he's on tour.
He wishes, man. He wishes, man. How y'all doing, man?
What's up, baby?
Good. Doc Holliday, sports director, as Jay mentioned, WMC Action News 5 in Memphis. Doc, Ja got 25 games. There are many people who, I think it's fair to say there are many people, there was a presumption he's going to get at least half a season or maybe a full season. Even though what actual behavioral infraction was there, right? Nevertheless, 25 games seems to be the outer limit of what you could give him without it being negotiated down further, and that's what he got hit with. What's your reaction to the 25 games?
Hey, Max, I figured that's what he would get, 20 to 25 games. That's a situation I think when it came out, I'm pretty sure that's all Adam Silver and the NBA kind of figured that's what they could do without the NBA PA fighting back. 25 games, man. I think I heard you want to talk about Miles Bridges getting 30 games for domestic violence, and that's true. And I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure Silver was talking to the NBA PA even before he announced the suspension. Like, okay, this is the window we're gonna get. NBA PA comes out and says, "Hey, it's too much. You know, it's inappropriate. We got to fight back." But that's what they're supposed to do. But I say 20 to 25 games. I thought that's what it would be. And 25 games, I'm pretty sure that's fair for what Ja Morant and Adam Silver talked about and what they agreed that he would and wouldn't do.
Doc, one of the reasons why I love having you on the show, you always keep it real, right? There's no positioning. Obviously, you're a Memphis Grizzlies supporter and you're a fan, but you always tell people what time it is. So with that being said, your thoughts on the video that TMZ posted of Ja allegedly using a lighter that resembles a gun?
Clickbait, man. Like, why? Why? Because you all had that video. You had it, probably had it for a while. You all waited until Ja Morant's suspension was handed down before you all released that video. So my whole thing is Ja Morant equals views right now. Ja Morant equals content. Ja Morant equals bringing a bright light onto people. And as hard as I work and as much as I do, you know, this whole Ja Morant situation has even uplifted my profile. You know, I didn't want to do it like this, but, you know, Ja Morant just equals views, and that's what everybody's talking about. So my thing with TMZ, that's what they do. They're a gossip site. And I wouldn't even think nothing of it. That's just what they do.
Doc, you're right. That is clickbait on one hand. On the other hand, why the hell does Ja even have a lighter gun? Why would he even have that? Why would he even post something like that?
Jay, I can't. I mean, you know what, man? That question is so, you know, it makes so much sense to what I can't do anything but laugh about it. I don't know, man. Like I said, we're dealing with a young man who needs to grow up. I mean, that's all I can say. That's what we keep saying. I have no idea why would you have a lighter made like a pistol. But at the same time, I know I have no idea why we, you know, give toy guns to little kids. My oldest daughter, my Shauna, I love her. She's in the Army. She's a second lieutenant. But she gave my grandson, she bought my grandson a little toy gun. I come home, I'm like, whoa, hold on, give me that. That goes in the garbage. We're not doing that. So, you know, why do we give little kids toy guns? I don't know. Apparently, Ja has he has a fascination with pistols. He has a fascination with guns, and which a lot of people do. So I can't answer that question for Ja.
Yeah, as I keep saying, people who do the whataboutism stuff, though, like, well, what about politicians who pose with guns? Those politicians are largely owned by the NRA, and that's who they answer to. Ja Morant answers to the NBA, which has a much more civilized standard, and I'm thankful for that. But talking to Doc Holliday, sports director, WMC Action News in Memphis. But Doc, you know, to me, when I see that stuff, I don't just see a fascination with guns. I see it as a symptom of a problem in Ja, because it's not just the subject matter we're talking about. It's the idea that he was punished for posting about that subject matter and then did it again. No, it was his friend, whatever. He was in the position where it was on social media again. These are unforced errors. They are self-destructive. And it, to me, is symptomatic of something deeper. Now, originally, he went into counseling. Was it for alcohol treatment he was asked? No, he said, right? 6 games, that counted against an 8-game suspension. He had to serve 8. He lost, by my estimation, over $40 million because he was there for it. He missed out on all 3 NBA teams. He didn't even make third team NBA, which I think he had a very good chance to do were he not suspended and in the trouble. So I don't know why people now think, oh, wait, now he's going to lose another $40 million. Now he'll get it. It didn't seem like it seems like whatever's going on with him means more to him than protecting the money, right? Until he addresses that, whatever it is underlying the behavior, it's going to pop up again, if not in this way, in some other way. Do you have any reason to believe that he is taking seriously addressing whatever is underlying this behavior?
You know what? I don't know if he is now. I'm pretty sure eventually he will. And let me preface this and go back to saying that I know a lot of people that have fascination with guns. I have good friends that played in the NFL, NBA. You know, they got all kinds of weaponry. You know, that's nothing wrong with that. But I think with Ja, I think he has to learn, which a lot of people have to learn. And I tell people that professional athletes and athletes, they have a warped sense of reality, man. Their reality, like my reality, Jay Will's reality, even yours, Max, it's not the same as everybody else. When you're a professional athlete, when you're a great athlete, you're getting away with things all the time that other people are not able to get away with. So when somebody starts holding you accountable and you get in trouble for something, you was like, huh, you can't do that. You might do it again because it has become such a pattern. So until Ja realizes and understands, you didn't break a law, but who you are, Ja, and I think Ja should take it as a compliment. The NBA thinks so much of you. The world thinks so much of you that they are raising the standards of your actions and how you carry yourself way up here, way higher than anybody else in the NBA. So he has to look in the mirror whether he wants it or not. Ja, you that dude. He has to say, I'm that dude. The Most High has made me that dude. What I wanted or not, God has made me and given me these abilities, given me these looks, given me this charisma. Whether I want this or not, I got it. So I have to take hold of this and make sure I'm serious with this.
Doc, we got about 30 seconds left. Do you think if Ja were to figure it out, does he still have a chance to be the face of the league?
Man, what a redemption story. Of course, man, because we all fall. We all be broken and we all get up. You know, the professional sports is entertainment, man. What a story. To go through all this, 23, now you 25, 27, you get it. You this big billionaire entity, brand. Man, look at the mistakes I made. Look at what look how he started and look where he is now. So there's no doubt about it.
We love to build them up, I think, as a culture. Tear them down and then see them rise from the ashes. Not everyone does, but we like to see it. We like to see the redemption story. That's part of the process of fame. I agree with that. And in Ja's case, I think he'll have some sympathy because they're self-inflicted. You know, he hasn't hurt anyone else. He's hurting himself. And like the behavior so obviously self-destructive, I think, Doc, your way of looking at it is good. Ja, there are very high standards for your behavior. You are an important person, and the hope is that you'll be more important, I think, than you realize. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Doc Holliday. Appreciate you, Doc.
All right, Doc. Have a good one, brother.
Appreciate it, man.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we're presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. You can hear us on your smart speaker. Say, play ESPN Radio. It's time for the Hot Ticket. Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Get great deals on the hottest tickets. Experience it live. So Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and KD as a big three. They have to flesh out the roster, of course. Let's see what they do.
Yep.
By the way, I was thinking about it, Jay. We were talking about it yesterday on this Just In, 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, handsome host. Rob Pelinka was able to turn Russell Westbrook at the trade deadline into enough spare parts and important pieces, actually, not just spare parts, to turn the Lakers from, they went from a bottom feeding team. They were not in the play-in even. 10 out of 15 teams make the play-in to a conference finalist. They made the conference finals with the parts he turned Russell Westbrook into at the trade deadline. I know mm-hmm. he was an expiring contract, but I think DeAndre Ayton could fetch you at least what Westbrook fetched the Lakers, you would think, which is enough maybe to flesh out the roster with enough rotation pieces. So Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and KD at the top of that versus Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and let's say Damian Lillard.
So wait, are we saying this is what the NBA championship could be?
I'm saying who would you think would have better odds to go all the way?
Denver.
Even though it's the Heat that keep winding up in the finals.
I still don't know what additional pieces there are with Phoenix.
No, I'm asking head to head.
Okay, just you're saying those two teams, those two not teams, the field. Yeah. I would take Miami.
They've done it before.
No, it's just not about doing it before. I feel like as if in year one, roles are kind of already established where I don't know what the pecking order is in Phoenix yet, and I still don't know what the pieces are.
Meaning most – we're really just talking about importing Dame. Let's say exporting Tyler Hero and draft picks. So you've just kind of dropped Dame into a situation that's ready-made versus putting something together almost from scratch.
I mean, you're not putting it together from scratch. KD and D-Book have played together, but
– 8 games.
It's more than 8 games, for sure.
With the playoffs.
But the challenge is that nobody is talking about is now you're going to be asking Devin Booker to play the point guard position. So as much as that's easy, just come down and getting in sets, you know, there is value around CP3 being on the court when you get into the playoffs when the game slows down and the execution of strategy. There is value to that experience. So now as much as you're saying, well, you could play faster with Devin Booker, and that's great, but in certain critical junctures of the game, that lack of experience, I wonder how Phoenix will arrive in that situation. I'm not saying they can't do it. It's just a question mark you have about this team.
Zach Lowe on the Low Post podcast said the following about Dame on the Heat potentially.
I'll tell you, Lillard, Butler, Bam would scare the crap out of me if I were any team in the Eastern Conference. Now the Heat are going to have to pay a ginormous tax bill, no exceptions, the whole thing. You know, see if they can hang on to Caleb Martin in that kind of transaction. But that big three is a real big three. That's a scary big three.
I mean, think about Dame and Bam in ball screens. You saw how Bam can be utilized in ball screens with Gabe Vincent, right, in the NBA Finals. Like, imagine if that was Dame. Like, so many times, even Bam being more aggressive, there were multiple games he took 20-plus shots. You're like, finally, having a guy like Dame opens up that can even more so because what are you going to blitz it?
I'm trying to
you,
think.
You can't
Jay,
go
as
under.
You're, as
so
you're
now
saying
it puts
that.
A defense in rotation so many more times. And you have Jimmy Butler that can be utilized too as a catch and shoot guy or step in a mid range guy.
As you're saying that, I'm trying to think of a combination in the history of basketball. I'm not saying there aren't better combinations. Surely there have been, you know, many, but who do the same sort of things. Like, what would that look like? Damian Lillard, who now shoots from the distance he does, in addition, you know, like, that's he can really space the floor differently even than other guys who shoot the three, like a quasi-Steph type. Bam, right? Now, like, what that, but now also with a Jimmy Butler type, with a 2-3, whatever you want to call it. Jimmy Butler can really play the 1, 2, or 3, who's not a great shooter, but a good enough shooter and has got a good mid-range game and can finish and all that stuff. What combination have we seen quite like that in NBA history? I'm trying to think of comps. It's not easy.
So just to be added,
it's a versatile attack.
It's a versatile attack in a variety of different ways. I mean, so is KD, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. It's just different because you're not sure if DeAndre Ayton is that actual big piece that can be utilized in a lot of ball screens, but you could utilize Kevin Durant.
But none of those guys are Damian Lillard as a floor general either, right? I mean, I'm not saying that's not – you wouldn't rather have the other. I get it. And there are other combinations I'd rather have than the three I just mentioned. But in terms of what they do, have we seen a team constructed with three pieces? They each do different things – but together, very difficult to defend like that.
Let me ask you a question, Max. because I would look at this differently if I were Joe Cronin, who is the GM of the Portland Trailblazers, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, like Brian Windhorst said when he came on our show an hour ago, there is a no-trade clause. Like, there isn't one for Dame. There was one for Bradley Beal, which is why Bradley Beal can say, hey, essentially I'm acting as a free agent, almost synergistically to Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, mm-hmm. I want to go to that team, make it work. Mm-hmm. As much as you want to do that for Dame, it's hard to do. If Miami's not willing to give you pieces in return for him, isn't it the open market? So not that I mean,
no, it's not, I don't think.
I think it is.
If Damian Lillard says, I want to go to Miami, but he'll go to Miami. Because this is the thing that...
But wait a second. I'm going to push back on you.
Go ahead.
That's not the case. If I have autonomy, and as much as I want to help you, if Miami doesn't want to give me pieces in return that other organizations want to for my rebuild, I don't... As much as I have loyalty for you, I love you for staying, I have to do what's in the best interest for the Portland.
But you're not going
to
send me anywhere else, and I'll tell you why. Because the acquiring team will get a call from Damian Lillard's agent.
Doesn't want to be
by
there.
By the way, much as AD, you know, like the Clutch had to call around the league and let him know, look, and by the way, because they have an ongoing relationship with these other teams, it's even in the acquiring teams or the would-be acquiring teams' best interest. You know, you want to be told the truth by the agent. He doesn't want to be there. He's not going to stay there, right? You're not going to give up a bounty. You know, you're not going to mortgage the farm for a disgruntled player or a player who's not going to stay long-term or doesn't really want to be there. So that really takes everyone else off the board. And now you're dealing with Miami. And so the price will drop. Right. And so the real option becomes, in that case, we're just not going to trade you. We're going to keep you in Portland.
So you're saying it doesn't matter if you have a no trade clause. It's the same thing. Essentially, you're saying having a no trade clause and having one is the same thing.
Almost like I look at you have to jump through more hoops to get your way. James Harden had to play himself out of Houston. But in the end, he got traded to the exact team he specified. Right.
Well, two trades later. He got traded to Brooklyn.
Well,
first.
Originally, but yeah, okay,
he
fine.
He got traded to Brooklyn first. It wasn't two.
That's true, but did he specify Philly number one at the time? I don't remember that.
It was pretty obvious. I mean, he didn't come out with the list, but it was pretty obvious he wanted to be with Daryl Morey in Philly.
Okay, my memory is that Brooklyn was near the top of the list, and he wound up in Brooklyn and then Philly. Okay. Damian Lillard, it's a little different because he's built up so much goodwill, it doesn't have to get acrimonious. But if he says, look, I want to go to Miami, I think now you're talking to Miami. But since you're playing ball with him, he plays ball with you. It doesn't let the information leak everywhere. And you can extract a better deal than you may have otherwise been able to get from
Miami.
So
you're forcing my hand with one team where the market could dictate others. So I mean, it has to be like, hey, look, you want me to scratch your back? Scratch mine. Like, you got to give me a list. It can't just be like, here's my one team and force my hand. Because I'm trying to get the best compensation in return for you for my team moving forward.
It depends how much hardball the player wants to play. NBA superstar can dictate what team he goes to.
I would play hardball back.
Yeah, and then say, stay put.
We have tip for tat type of relationship. We have to work together.
Yeah, you got to compromise in the end. Let's try to think of a comp. What would Mitch Richmond and Tim Hardaway at one point, but then who would be Bam? Should Giants fans be worried about Saquon not showing up at training camp? I'm a Giants fan. KJM.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, were presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm old enough to remember when the original came out, Jay.
What year was that?
Like 80, 81, 82, ooh, maybe.
I was born that year. Black, Latino, and Anglo-Saxon. We always have great music on when Jeremy Fowler comes on.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Well, you know why. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior NFL writer who looks like he's in a barbershop quartet but got bars and will freestyle.
What's up, gentlemen?
What's up, baby?
What's the Jeremy?
What's the beat? We don't even have a beat.
Yeah, we were playing If I Ruled the World, the Nas version.
We got to turn up a little bit.
All right, turn it up. Yes.
Turn up this
hold
mess
on.
There. Turn
I'm all up in the there. Basement.
Oh, no.
My guy Jay Will cross you over. Rolling up in the Rover, but I used that line last time. So I got to get certain that I'm coming rhymes with this time. Kicking dimes. Yes, sir. I am so absurd with the verbs. Oh, my goodness. I'm just messing around.
Really? I thought you were being serious.
I love it. Kicking dimes, not passing dimes. Kicking dimes. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Nickels and dimes.
Stop the top.
Yeah. What's the latest? I should hope so. What's the latest with DeAndre Hopkins, Jeremy?
I hope so.
Yes.
It was DeAndre Hopkins is taking his time a little bit. I'm told he's kind of resetting things after that New England visit last week. And it went really well. The Patriots feel like they're in a pretty good spot. Mutual interest and respect between Bill Belichick and Hopkins. Hopkins conveyed some interest while he was there in playing for New England, but certainly he could hold out here for another contender if they want to get involved. You know, he's got time on his side, so could wait closer to training camp to see how that market develops. But the Titans, Patriots certainly have interest because he visited both those places and they're still in it. Just depends on a lot of factors, and sometimes the money is certainly got to shake out here and see how much he can get on the open market and what's the best fit for him. Can he go to a contender? Is like a Kansas City who's been linked to him going to step up here? Haven't been overly aggressive as of yet, so that could be part of the waiting game, just to see who else steps up.
Jeremy, if there were teams outside of the two you just made mention of that could potentially come into this, you know, picture as the market evolves, like who do you think some of those teams could be?
Well, you know, it's certainly the Patriots, they need the help and they love the player. So I do think they're going to continue to be involved. You know, Kansas City, my understanding is it would be like they have interest and would get involved, but to a point. Like they're just not in a position to spend a lot of big money. They gave some of their leftover money to left tackle Donovan Smith in free agency. So they just don't have a lot left. But, you know, Buffalo was linked to them before. I'm not sensing a lot of movement there right now. So it really is pretty open. Like, I continue to hear that Hopkins doesn't have, like, a short list of teams or contenders he has to go to. Like, he's played with a lot of different quarterbacks over his career. He knows how to make any offense work. So he's just open to any really right situation, all 32 teams. You know, so somebody is going to get involved at some point if they haven't already. You know, like, the Lions have been linked to them. Or at least debated, do they need an extra receiver? I don't think it will be them. Giants, you know, could use the help. They've done their due diligence at least on this a little bit, so maybe that's a sleeper.
So, Jeremy, the reason maybe the market is not what he's expecting is the fact, you know, is because Odell Beckham Jr. was, it seemed to me at the time, used by the Baltimore Ravens as a kind of cheap inducement for Lamar Jackson, right? We overpay Odell by $5 million based on the market. Not that Odell's not fantastic.
Yeah.
He's coming off an injury, you know, that he missed a lot of time. He's on the wrong side of 30. And maybe that kind of warped the perception of the receiver market. Is there anything like that at all for DeAndre Hopkins? Is there any player around the league that maybe a team wants to make happy or see take the next step?
I don't get that sense right now. You know, most quarterbacks around the league are pretty happy with what they have. And because they've been building chemistry, all OTAs and minicamp, even the Patriots, you know, they like some of the young receivers and bringing in Juju Smith-Schuster. So it doesn't seem like any team or offense is particularly pressed to make it happen. It's just a matter of whether you think Hopkins can get you over the top. You know, the Odell Beckham situation really, in my mind, and talking to some executives, they believe the same thing, that derailed a DeAndre Hopkins trade, essentially, because the money Odell got, Hopkins was thinking, well, hey, I'm more productive, and I'm still in my prime, in essence, so, you know, why would I take less than that? But teams trying to trade for him just weren't willing to do that. And so it's June. Is he going to get that kind of money? Yet to be seen. Maybe with incentives it can get close to there or something in a reasonable package to compensate a player of his caliber.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior NFL writer, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Jeremy, let's go to the Giants for a second. Starting to get concerned when it comes to Saquon. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are no real concern yet because there's almost a month until that July 17 franchise tag deadline. This is how that works. There's a lot of posturing. When you get closer to that date, you can try to shake something out. Now, if it's sort of a futile case like with Dak Prescott a few years ago where they just weren't going to bridge the gap, but this is fairly reasonable money, different contract with the running back position. The Giants are willing to get him at a decent like per year average. It's just that, you know, Saquon considers the deal, or at least my understanding is, kind of flimsy, right? There's the structure and the guarantees have to be pretty strong for him to be able to not play in the franchise tag, forego that, and to sign a deal for at least the next couple years. And, you know, he doesn't really want like the per game roster bonuses and incentives to have to make up a lot of the quality money that he would get. It's got to be, you know, ironclad money that you get guaranteed. And so that's the bridge that they're going to have to gap. And, you know, the Giants ownership really values Saquon Barkley. This is a player that they look at as a potential Giant for life. And that's why John Maurer or somebody could maybe step in at the end here and say, let's just get this done. The Giants have paid other players like Dexter Lawrence and a few others that they've invested in this offseason. Daniel Jones, of course. So Barkley would essentially just finish that chapter of an expensive offseason for the Giants.
Does that have any connection to Dalvin Cook and what happens there?
Well, there's a connection for Cook. You know, I'm told that there's a scenario where he could just wait a little bit, kind of like Hopkins, be in no rush, wait until closer to the training camp, knowing that there are three franchise tag running backs right now with Saquon, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, all scheduled to make $10.1 million on that tag. Can they get to the finish line on a long-term deal with their teams? Josh Jacobs, there's not a lot of optimism there. Tony Pollard, you know, he's in a win-win situation because he's coming off injury, either tag or long-term deal. And then Barkley, right? So those are new comps for Dalvin. Even if all three just sign the tag and play on that number, that for Cook can say, hey, look, those guys make 10. Can I just get that or something close to it or work something out with a team? You know, it is June in the free agency market for running backs. It's not a great time, but this is still an elite player, only 27 years old. Repaired his shoulder this offseason. He is now feeling good, and he feels like he can absorb contact even better than he was able to a year ago.
Jeremy Fowler, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN senior NFL writer. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thanks for kicking some dimes with us, Jeremy.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. One of my best. I'll do better next time.
Well, you do it live in studio right. When Jeremy drops his bars. All right.
Yeah. It's better in a studio, for sure.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I'm nasty at Boggle.
Yeah?
Nasty at Boggle. I've been playing since I was a little boy.
Boggle's fun. Then there's Sometimes Banana Grabs. You ever play Banana Grabs?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
What's
like,
an anagram?
That's like 2.0, brother.
Is that online?
No, no. It's like you get in a bag with pieces. It's like Boggle, but Boggle 2.0.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fresh.
Yeah, I got to check that out.
Yeah, Bananagrams is fresh. Keyshawn, J. Will and X, ESPN Radio. Know what else is fun? Like, that's like Bananagrams and Boggle, Jay?
Bananagrams sounds like a cereal to me.
No, but it's fun. If you like Boggle, you like Bananagrams.
Okay.
New York Times has a thing called Spelling Bee, where you get a center letter.
You get what?
And then center letter, and then what, six letters around it, five letters around it, and you have to spell every word in the English language that you can using those letters, but you must use the center letter, and it must be at least four letters. You can use as many or few of the other letters as you like.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds like one of those games that make me confused.
No, you would like it's similar in a way to Boggle and Bananagrams.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
You get different levels. You get, and all the levels are very nice. It's like nice, good, excellent, great, genius.
How competitive do you get? Genius.
Well, yeah, I always hit genius every day, but then the highest level's called Queen Bee. That's when you've literally spelled every word in the English language that is possible with those letters. And I know someone who gets Queen Bee every day in about 2 minutes, but they're like the only person in the world who does that.
We should do a little spelling bee online.
An actual
challenge people.
Spelling words?
Yeah, see how well we do.
Like the spelling bee.
Because I want to see if you're a genius or a queen bee.
But it's not about spelling words. It's about finding words from letters. That's why it's like Boggle or Bananagrams.
Yeah.
No, if it's spelling, I lose. You know what I noticed? That people who didn't ever take Latin don't spell well. If you took Latin in school at some point, you spell every word
is
just right.
Lillard with two L's or one? Or three?
Is there a silent T in there somewhere? All right. If Dame wants to go back or wants to go to Miami, does Portland have to honor his request, even if it's not their best option? The reason I believe they do, Jay, is Damian Lillard, first of all, in the NBA, a superstar, not just an all-star, but a superstar, has enormous leverage. And the reason is that every team is looking for one, not every team has one.
Mm-hmm.
And the history of the league, until recently, has been the team that gets the best player in the deal wins the deal, and maybe that's changing. But there's something about the nature of basketball where you can't have a disgruntled superstar who really doesn't want to be there. I don't think you're going to win a championship like that. And after all, that's the purpose in acquiring a guy like that. And so if there are three or four suitors, right, bidders for a star, and they go to management and say, I don't want to go to that place, or that place, the would-be acquiring team's not going to put their bet. They're not going to want to offer a boatload for a guy who doesn't want to be there or doesn't want to stay there. Not usually. Once in a while, they'll roll the dice. Maybe we can convince him once he gets here. So if it's a player who hasn't built up a lot of goodwill in a town, maybe. You could say, well, we'll go to war with you and we'll keep you here against your will, and who cares what the public thinks? They don't even like you anyway. Damian Lillard is so beloved. He has gone his whole career in a league where guys are hopping all around and has stayed loyal to Portland. That if I just put myself in the owner's position, I own the Portland Trailblazers, I don't want to go to war with Damian Lillard. I can't win that. And I want to rebuild anyway. So if he came to me and told me I will only go to Miami, what I would say to Dame is, okay, fine. But what will wind up happening is you and I are going to work out the deal to Miami. And then you'll go present that to Pat Riley, and if he'll take it, okay.
Why?
But there's because
I'm not getting you involved in the deal making process. You're gonna lose me leverage. You're gonna tell Pat Riley that you only want to come to Miami, and that he needs to get the picks up. That's not gonna work with me. And if we want this to work, then we're gonna have to have a collaborative relationship. And if you can't be collaborative, then it's going to become acrimonious.
Okay, and then you're just going to keep me here, I guess, and you want to rebuild, you're not going to get
anything for me. Opt out of your $45 million contract and opt out. You signed the extension a couple years ago. So then opt out.
Damian Lillard? Sure.
He just signed a two-year extension.
Yeah, but when's – hold on.
I'm just saying, like, you're slated to make $45 million.
Yes, I would gladly opt out because every team in the league would give me $45
million. Listen, Max, it's not going to work where you can't just – if there's not a no-trade clause – You set the wrong precedent, even if you are an extremely loyal player, to just force my hand to one team. I won't allow you to do that. We will fight.
It won't happen. You have to give me a list.
So now we're fighting.
Of three or four teams in which we can make this work. If you want it to be three teams, fine. But I have to get leverage in this situation. You are Dame. We have to move on without you. I have to receive suitable compensation in return for you being one of the best players in the league. I can't have a team, though, that you only want to go there, like Bradley Beal, and get cents on the dollar for a talent like yours. I'm not going to let it happen.
Well, in that case,
I won't let it happen.
Okay, in that case, that's possible that they have that reaction, and I agree. Cooler heads usually prevail, and sensible people will say, okay, here's a list of three teams.
Yes.
However, if Dame wanted to dig his heels in and said, no, it really has to be Miami, I'm telling you, the owner's hand would be forced. You're going to keep Dame there.
Julie Allen has a different relationship with the team. Like, it's going to be on their GM to make this decision. I mean, granted, you can probably go, you can supersede it, but there's a lot of questions around.
I would go right to ownership.
Julie Allen, okay.
I would go right to ownership. This is above the GM's head if I'm Damian Lillard. And I would say, what I would do is, look, if Pat Riley knows that's the only team I'm going to go to, he's not even going to give me all his draft picks, right? So what I'd say to Damian Lillard is, I understand you don't want to weaken whatever team you go to too much, right? So if it's Tyler Hero and something else, or you flip Tyler Hero into something, I want a ton of draft compensation for you. I want all of Miami's draft picks, basically. I would work that out with Lillard so he could go present that to Pat Riley, take it or leave it, right? That I understand. But I do think that a good faith effort would have to be made to send him to where he wants to go.
Oh, a good faith effort, yes. That is different than saying, I'm only going here. Wait, Nuno, you had some extra details on how the player agreement works for Dame?
Yeah, so last year he actually signed a 2-year extension.
Yes.
So he has a player option next year, which everyone assumes he'll opt in. And then he signed a 2-year extension for 25, 26, and 26, 27 that starts at almost $59 million. So he re-signed. So you're technically, he's locked in for the next 4 years pretty much.
Right, but that's what everyone does now, because the way that everything's set up is you take all the money from the team you're on, because they can give you more and they can give it to you immediately, and then you request a trade or demand a trade, as it were. Well, only the superstars can do that, but superstars can do that. There's a history in the league of superstars making certain demands, and they have that kind of leverage.
I just wouldn't let it happen, Max. I would need to talk. Like, Brooklyn has a lot of assets. There's other teams who have a lot of assets. I would need to understand from Dame, look, I want to help you. You want to help me. Like, give me a list of three teams. Yeah. Like, obviously, I heard you on the podcast that you said, oh, Miami will be live. You also made mention of Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. You also made mention of some other teams. So, like, give me your list. Compile a list. And then tier them for me. Like, 1, 2, 3. Understand your priority might be to go to team one. But if I can't get you to team one, at least I can maybe get you to team two or three.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable way to go about it. And Dame would seem to be reasonable to me, and they probably worked that out. My point is a theoretical one, right? Like, or a hypothetical one. If he dug his heels in, I believe he would get his way. I don't know that he will do that. I'm saying I believe it would work. Kendrick Perkins, by the way, is extremely high on the Suns, on the Phoenix Suns. But is Jay Will? He's going to put together a list and then deny the order. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.